So if you have your Bibles this morning, go ahead and turn to the book of Jude. Oh, okay. Thank you. Do you ever get that where it's like, Jeremy, guys, I need it like over here a little bit. Anybody move furniture for my daughter, my wife? So if you can turn to Jude this morning. So anyway, we've been in our sermon series, and it's called A House of Prayer. And today we're tackling this idea of the role of the Holy Spirit in our prayer life. And to be honest with you, we're going to need a whole lot of the Holy Spirit today, because there's just so many things that God has been saying to me through this. And we're just going to see how this goes. Samuel Chadwick, he said this: the one concern of the devil is to keep the saints from prayer. He fears nothing from prayerless studies, prayerless work, prayerless religion. He laughs at our toil. He mocks our wisdom, but trembles when we pray. I said at one point that, you know, prayer is one of the most understood theologies that we have. We have entire books on prayer. But the problem is the practice of prayer is often neglected in our church, in our lives, as personal people in our relationship with God. And I asked two questions over the past 2 weeks. One of the questions was, what concerns you? Because oftentimes when we pray about our concerns. And then I said, well, what actually concerns God about you? Asking him that in your prayer time. And then the second week I asked, what are you seeking? And we showed the difference between the hypocrites that like to pray in the synagogues or on the street corners so they can get the praise and adoration of men rather than seeking God. And so then the whole idea was, go in your prayer closet, go in your certain area of prayer, personal prayer, and seek God with all your heart. And we said that, you know, that it's not against corporate prayer, because then it was all the we statements, when we pray, our Father. And so the idea, though, is that the foundation of your spiritual development, your spiritual formation, is going to come right out of your communion, your prayer time with him. There is nothing that you do to make you holier except for submit to God completely. Nothing. When you bask in his presence and when you walk with him day by day, you become more and more like him. You're being transformed and renewed in the likeness of Jesus. So the challenge is to pray. To seek him, to speak with him, to hear his heart, to listen, to say, Lord, what concerns you about me? Where are you guiding me? What are you saying to me? The thing that I seek is you. I seek you with all my heart. I want to be in your presence and I want to know you. When we focus on prayer, it's just not about a religious act. It's about this living relationship with our Father. Many times, have you ever felt convicted? Because you ever hear a message on prayer and you're like, I don't pray? And it's like, okay, this is a little bit of conviction here. Or you hear a message on tithing and you don't tithe. Or you hear a message on whatever and you feel this a little bit of conviction. But this is a good thing. Because you know what? It allows us to know, okay, according to your word, there are some things in my life that are not lining up. The question is what do you do with conviction? You can either listen and turn on the faucet and allow the floodgates of the Holy Spirit just to come in you and transform you. Or you can just tighten it down a little bit so you don't hear that drip, that drippy faucet. And then what we do is we just kind of sit in our complacency and our apathy. We go about our day thinking everything is okay. I'm religious. I know about the Lord. I pray. pray for the things that I need. But what I'm talking about is a deep prayer that comes from the groanings of your inner man, your inner person. It's where your passion is felt for something. The depths of who you are is where we want to commune with Him. Nothing is more vital than prayer in our Christian existence, our walk. But, you know, fewer things in your walk are more vulnerable and neglected. So easy. So easy to pay our bills month after month but never seek His face. It's so easy to go to work every single day, but we cannot come to His throne. It's just so easy for us to go to the grocery store to grab the food that we need for this day, but we don't receive bread from heaven. It's so easy to be driven by our flesh and neglect our spirit. What is different between the church and the world? And it has got to be Jesus. Jesus is what separates us from the world. And we must walk with Him. We must walk with Him. So today I want to ask you, and you don't raise your hand, don't answer me, but how is your walk with the Lord? How is your prayer life? And I'm not just talking about those instances where it's now lay me down to sleep. Thank the Lord. You know, I'm talking about a walk, a life of prayer and living in His presence, being mindful of Him at all times. How is that walk with Him? 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 6 through 7, it says, "For this reason I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control." Fan it into flame, this gift of God. It's in you. So today we're talking about this Holy Spirit that resides in you and that will partner with you in your prayer life. Some of you are here today and you are dry. Some of us are here today and we need a fresh revelation. Some of us are just kind of going through the norms, the motion. But what I want to say to you is that fan the flame. Push through. Push through. This past Friday, we had worship and warfare. And I was tired. I'm actually tired today, too. Because yesterday I went hunting with some guys. And it was fun. But I was, like, out of shape and climbing up trees and trying to climb down the trees. And it was a mess. And it's like, okay, right? But during worship and warfare, I remember standing there and thinking, I'm kind of tired. There's a lot of things I could do on a Friday, but I know this, though, is that when I push through my flesh and I seek Him, I just let things go, and I seek Him, He is going to meet with me. And sometimes your prayer life might be pushing through. So if you have to push through, then push through the flesh. Fan the flame. Do whatever it takes to seek Him and to know Him and to be with Him and to sit in His presence, because you will be blessed, you will be refreshed, you will be renewed, you will be restored. And it's not just all about being either. It's out of that being of who He's doing, of who He's creating you to be, He gives you wisdom and guidance and a word and a revelation. He gives you purpose and a direction. And the Holy Spirit does this work. Not simply prayers lifted up, carried by angels to the heavenlies. Right? We're talking about the Spirit of the living God that dwells within the saints, in you. That's why He knows what you need before you even open your mouth. So I pray that you will stir up, that I will stir up and devote ourselves to prayer, to His presence, to being connected to this vine. That God will walk with us by the Spirit, and He will breathe in our lives a dependency on Him. That He's going to give us a grace and a faith and a life and a love and a joy that just we cannot receive anywhere else. It's interesting that the scripture that we read earlier today, because that was one of the scriptures that I had, and it's John 15, verse 5. And it's this idea in our prayer life of being connected with Him. Being connected with Him. Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Now, a lot of us, we do a whole lot in this world, but it is nothing. You can have $1 million, and it's nothing. It's nothing when it comes to the Lord's currency. It's nothing when it comes to the Lord's power. Apart from Him, everything that you have is going to rust, waste. It's going to be destroyed. It's going to wither. It's for a season. It is not eternal. Apart from Him, we can do absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing. Galatians chapter 4, verse 6, it says that the Spirit, it talks about the Spirit of Jesus, because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. He has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your heart. And it cries out of you, Abba, Father! It cries out. It's in your heart. The Holy Spirit in prayer. So here's Jude. And it's one chapter, right? It's one small little book. And this is really interesting. I was reading this, and I read the entire book. It was really spiritual because I just read the entire book. And I was trying to think of, like, what is the purpose of Jude? And, like, what's his context? Like, who is he writing to? And what's the deal? What's going on there? And really, the whole book is talking about false teachers. And it's just not talking about false teachers just to identify who the false teachers are. It actually shows the fruit of a false teacher. And we'll talk about that in a minute. But actually, Jude, when he's writing them, it's like something that has been on his heart to communicate to his church. And he says, Beloved, while I was making every effort to write you about our common salvation, he's saying, my effort was to write to you about our common salvation. Common, unity, I like that, right? And salvation, everyone's saved, yeah. Right? I'm going to write to you about our common salvation, something that is exciting and should be uplifting and something that is going to be an encouragement. But then he goes, but I felt it necessary to write to you, appealing to you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all handed down to the saints. He's saying, I desired to write to you about our common salvation, but the Holy Spirit is leading me in a different direction. And I am now appealing to you. I am appealing you to push through, to contend earnestly for the faith that was handed down to you by the saints. And I was thinking about this in prayer as we were worshiping, and I'm thinking, you know, where are we as a church? Where are we? I was thinking about kind of the way we do church sometimes. And every culture is different. And you know, there's just things that we do that are, I don't know. And it's cultural. And that's okay. We can, the Lord can use our culture and to meet with us and all those things. But those aren't gospel. But he's dealing with false teachers. And he's telling the saints to be encouraged and to contend for the faith that was handed down to you. Contend for it. And I don't know about you, but I've been to different churches. And, you know, church sometimes can be, and I hate to say it, sometimes you can get discouraged in church. It could be their fault. Most of the time it is, right? Especially if I'm telling the story. It's everyone else's fault, right? Lord, it's just me, and I'm in this room with all these people, you know? But many times it's us. It's what God is trying to do in the circumstances of life. A lot of that time, a lot of those times, it's. I was telling a brother at the worship night, the church is not here for you. You should be here for the church. Because when you're thinking about what you get all the time, and then you're disappointed, well, then you leave, and then you have a consumer mentality, and that's not very encouraging. But really, if you're here to serve people and you see them in their brokenness and you see them in their sin and they're not necessarily encouraging you, but you don't see them as their job to encourage you. You see it as an opportunity by God to say, now I must put courage into you. My mission here is not for you to pour into my life, but my mission is for me to see an opportunity to pour into your life. And then when everybody has that mentality to serve one another and not to get from one another, well, man, when the world comes in here and they just see a bunch of servants, a bunch of grace, a bunch of love and direction and challenge and encouragement. So Jude is writing to a church that has got some problems. There are false teachers. And it's not necessarily about the teacher, it's about what is happening because of the teacher. And the false teachers, they're drawing the flock to themselves, and there is dissension, there is divisiveness in the church. And so that's kind of the setting of where we're at. So I'm going to read Jude chapter 1, right? Verses 17 through 25, okay? But you, beloved, ought to remember the words that were spoken beforehand by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, that they were saying to you, in the last time there will be mockers following after their own ungodly lusts. These are the ones who cause division, worldly-minded, devoid of the Spirit. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, pray in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting anxiously for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to eternal life. And have mercy on some who are doubting, save others, snatching them out of the fire. And on some have mercy with fear, hating even the garment polluted by the flesh. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to make you stand in the presence of his glory, blameless with great joy, to the only God our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever. Amen. So, Father God, I just pray that we would see your kingdom from your view. We would ask what concerns you, Lord God, that we would see that the church, the body of Christ, the kingdom of heaven is not about us, but it's about you, Lord. It's about for those that you have died for, Lord God, and that you've called us, Lord God, to serve and to sacrifice for. Father God, I thank you for prayer, that we can come into your presence, that we can petition, Lord God, that we can exalt your name, that we can give glory to you, Lord God, that we can find rest and hope, Lord God, that we can sit in your very presence. And I thank you, Lord, for the power that you've given us. that even as we speak or think or meditate on your word, even as we commune with you and speak to you, Lord God, in our own way, I thank you that your spirit is there. Power for change and hope and transformation is there. Resurrection power, Lord God. So, Father God, I pray that we would know your power in an intimate way. That if we have to push through, we would push through, but Lord, that we would meet you on the other side. That your spirit would refresh us this morning. In your holy name, amen. So I was thinking about the context of Jude, and he's dealing with these false teachers that are bringing divisiveness among the body, and you know, and he really wants to talk about their common salvation. He wants to glorify the Lord in that way, but God has a message, and it's about returning to the faith that was handed down to you. And our passage that we really are going to focus on is, but you, beloved, in verse 20, but you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting anxiously for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to eternal life. You know, Jesus, he actually said that, you know, there are going to be wolves when he leaves. There are going to be people that are going to be dividing the church. And I think it grieves the Lord. It grieves the Lord to see his church fractured. It grieves the Lord when we're biting one another and we're doing these things. And what I want to say is that our prayer life should not be dead. It should be vibrant. Seeking a fresh revelation of, it's just interesting how Satan just takes something, a truth, and he just twists it just ever so gently, ever so softly, inconspicuous, and then there's a perversion of God's truth. Sometimes we can pray, but it's like we don't commune with the Holy Spirit. We're just giving dead, empty words with no love for our Creator. It's awesome that the Holy Spirit, he says, I want to walk with you, I want to meet with you, I dwell. He chooses to dwell in you. That just amazes me that he wants to dwell in us. He wants to give us a power according to his will for our life. And Jesus, that's why Jesus says that apart from me, you can do nothing. That he is the vine and we are the branch and we are to be connected to him, hence prayer. We are to be connected with him so we can bear fruit. There's nourishment from being connected with him. There is a power that will burst forth fruit in life and goodness. But apart from him, we can do nothing. What is your theology on the Spirit? I think a lot of times our theology doesn't necessarily always jive with our life. You know, a lot of us, you know, yeah, we believe in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And we understand the theology that God dwells in us. And at Pentecost, the Holy Spirit comes into our life and all that. But I don't know if we live in that power all the time. Or that reassurance that, you know, I think a lot of times we're looking at our guilt and our shame and our dirtiness and our ugliness. And we don't say, Lord, you cannot possibly dwell here. And so we don't seek to fan the flame in our life and to live by its power. We don't seek the Spirit's work in our life. And we don't see that it's not just dead, empty prayers that we give to him. We can pray according to his will because you know what? The Spirit will break forth in utterance, Lord, even if we don't know what to pray, because he dwells in us, and we are submitted, and we are broken before him. And all of a sudden, the Spirit begins to manifest in your life. It's not about your ugliness or your dirt or your junk. I think a lot of times, even when we think of like ideas of salvation, do we really believe that the payment of the penalty of our sin this dirtiness, this ugliness of our life, that the blood cannot wash that away, that we are not forgiven, that we are not called to live in that. And it's not just a mind state. It's not just believing and it's going to happen. It's a reality. It is finished. It has happened. It is completed. There's this story of a, and everybody in the world I think knows it, but I'm going to say it because I'm not very good at illustrations. So it's this idea of like these little baby elephants that they get when they train them. And the elephant gets shackled and he's, you know, maybe 100 pounds, and they drive a stake into the ground, and the elephant cannot go wherever he wants to go. This is a wild animal. And of course, as the elephant grows, the shackle grows, but it's, they keep the elephant shackled. And that's how they train these elephants to stay, right? Now, eventually, the elephant is so large that if he wanted to, he could literally just rip out that chain and walk wherever he pleases. But from birth, he's been trained to believe that this chain is holding me down. And I think a lot of times, as sinful, fallen people, we can have that same mentality. We can have this same mentality that the sins of our past, the things that we've done, the dirtiness of my life, if the world really knew who I am. Even Paul dealt with that. He had a thorn in his flesh. But he said, I'm the worst of all sinners. And that kept him humble. But it didn't keep him back. And I'm not saying forget about the past. I'm saying just don't let it hold you down and shackle you. Realize the power that is within you as a believer. You are connected to him. I love this because he says in verse 20, but you, beloved. So he's talking about before, he's talking about all these mockers that are following ungodly lusts, and all these people that are just, they have this dirt that we're just talking about. And they begin to, these false teachers, they're the ones causing this division and this worldly mind, and they're devoid of the Spirit of the living God, the power for freedom, the power for to bear fruit in one's life. They are devoid of that. There is no power. But he says, but you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. It's this connection with the Holy Spirit. And I love it because it says building yourselves up. As Christians, we are called to grow in Christ's likeness. And I'm telling you, without communing with the Lord, without praying and seeking his will for your life, not just giving him junk and to-do lists, that's very juvenile. I'm talking about meat of our faith. Where now I am a vessel to be used by you. I am here to serve this church and not to be served by them. It's just putting things back into perspective that how God sees it. I'm called to be a servant. I'm called to sacrifice. I'm called to be filled with his Spirit. I'm called to power and truth and love. And Satan, he just likes to turn that channel just a little bit, just to mess it up. Love, what is that? We have a perversion of love in society. We have a perversion of that. Jesus shows true love. It's sacrificial and it will cost you. And I think you can see that. You can see that in our country. You can see the way we, you know, true love, and we date, and then we're crying, and we're doing all this stuff, and then we have the, you know, we have all these things going on where we're just breaking up with each other constantly, miserable, waiting for true love. Because we don't even understand what true love is. It's a perversion that Satan just gives us. Jesus' love cost him everything. It was sacrificial. He didn't look at you and say, well, you've done this, you've done that. It's useless, it's hopeless. My feelings are hurt. He doesn't do this. He doesn't say, you know, I don't want you because you're not holy enough like me. No, what he does is he goes, you know, I'm going to get on this cross and I'm going to sacrifice for you because my love is so true and pure for you, that you, maybe you will see this light. Maybe you allow me to commune in you. Maybe you will allow me to transform you into my likeness. Maybe my sacrifice will transform your life. Sometimes if we were a church that had the Christ likeness and we saw each other with that kind of love, things would be different. And the reason why I say that is because in Jude, he's talking to a church that they got problems. And we have problems in America. We got problems throughout the church everywhere. And this idea is that they need to get back to the basics. They need to remember the things that were passed down. They need to pray in the Spirit, the foundational things. Because the fruit of what they have been doing is apparent. There is division, worldly mind, completely devoid of the Spirit's work. So we are called to grow and to be disciples. And the way we do that is with a vibrant prayer life that is deeply connected and dependent on the Holy Spirit's work. Not by my mind. So you better submit. Fall to your knees spiritually in your heart, your spirit, and just say, Lord, there is nothing that I can do. And I don't really care what your bank account is. If you cannot fall to your knees, I don't care what job you have or any of that. Any man in this world that cannot fall to their knees with this king is foolish. He is all powerful, he is all knowing, he is all loving. There is nothing that we can do apart from him. Don't look in the flesh. Don't look in the flesh. Because every human has the same need, and it's Jesus. Every human has the same need, it's Jesus. So we have our plans. We have our 401ks, and we're going to go to this school, and we're going to do this with our life, and because it makes sense, right? I don't know how many students that I've heard that they go off to college and they're going to do this because there's good money in it. Well, what have we been doing here? What about asking the Lord, what is the purpose of your life? What is your life calling? Surely it wouldn't be to sacrifice. Surely it wouldn't be to lay my life down. What if that was the call for your life? What if that was the call to sacrifice? To let go. Seek him with all your heart and ask him in your prayer life, Holy Spirit, reveal to me the calling you've given me. And Lord, you know by my heart that anything you've called me to be or any place you've called me to go, you know that I will go. I will go and I will forsake it all for you. So we grow in this spiritual formation in Christ's likeness by the power of the Holy Spirit, and your prayer, your connection to him daily. Even like Brother Lawrence said, I talked to you about him last week, that he practices the presence of God. And it's just not some fairy tale thing. I'm talking about that every person you come in contact thinking, Lord, what are you doing now with this? Maybe it's nothing. Maybe you're just at the laundromat. I don't know. But maybe if your heart was open and you were in every encounter that you had with humanity and you say, Lord, is this my moment to be used by you? Is this my moment to be used by you? Which brings me to our outreach. So November 30th, we're going to have an outreach. And I want to challenge you guys to do this. And all this is what we're going to do. We're going to come here. We're going to have a time of worship. And then you're just going to go about your day. Go about your day, but we're going to hand you guys out a card. And on the back of it, it's just going to talk a little bit about our church, whatever. But on the other side, there's going to be a blank spot, and it's for you. And the challenge to you is to think like that for that day. To think, Lord God, how can you use me today? Who can I bless? And that can be with just sharing your heart. Maybe they have all kinds of money, but they just don't have any truth. They don't have any encouragement. They don't have any hope. Thinking, Holy Spirit, as I walk throughout this Sunday, Holy Spirit, what is it that you want to do in my life and through my life?
So it's going to require you to walk in the Spirit, to be mindful and prayerful, to practice the presence of God as you go about your ordinary life, and allowing God to make an extraordinary day. And so the idea is according to your comfort, you know, you may just be passing through Starbucks and you just write a note, hey, you know, I just wanted to bless you, and you buy their coffee. I don't know. But maybe you're out to eat at a restaurant, you're sitting there, and you're ordering, you're at Coney Joe's or something, right? They have them all over. And you're eating your chili dog, and, you know, there's a waitress, and you just feel like God has just placed her on your heart, and you just want to bless her, and you give her a card, and just say, you know what, the Lord has just placed you on my heart, I just want to let you know he loves you. Of course, you tip it well. Don't be giving her those fake dollars that say, silver and gold I do not have. Much is given, much is required. But you know, this is my vision, is that if we can begin to prayerfully walk by the power of the Holy Spirit and be mindful that the world is not here for me, but I am here as light and salt to this world, my approach in everything will be different. So when she brings your chili dog and your onions aren't on there, you're not thinking about that. I'm not thinking about my chili dog and what is wrong with you? You only have one job to do. And it's to put onions on my chili dog. I'm going to pray for you. Right? No, this is not your mindset, because you're going through the day and you're thinking, Lord, what is going on in this person's life? I'm not caring about the stinking onions. What's on her mind that prevented her from putting onions on you know, what's occupying her time? What's bothering her? What is it the Lord is trying to say to her that she just doesn't have spiritual eyes or ears to hear it? And here you are, full of the Holy Spirit, about to engage a chili dog, and you can just give a little bit of love. Right? I'm confident that if we as a church would focus on this and we would return to this as a foundational thing, that the Holy Spirit does live in this world, that he is a he, it is God completely, and that he wants to dwell in us and convict us and lead us and encourages us and guide us in all things, and that we can actually commune with him through prayer every day, every moment. Because let's face it, who can pray all day? Well, a lot of us would say, no, we cannot. I'll tell you why we can't. Because we're so consumed of ourselves. If you ever want to strike up a conversation with somebody, let me give you a hint. This is what I've learned. If I ever want to talk to somebody, what I do to connect with them, I'll ask them a question about themselves. Because people love to talk about themselves. People absolutely love to talk about themselves. And to be honest with you, for most of us, to fight that flesh, to fight that desire to say, you know what, every single day, in every single moment, we are thinking about ourselves. What am I going to do next? What am I going to eat? We're always negotiating this world to try to get something for myself. What I'm saying is replace the desire for self, replace that with the desire for God. And you can begin to practice the presence of the living God. When you see yourself not here to get from people, but to serve and to be used by him. Every moment in life is an opportunity. The richness that he will fill you with is amazing. John chapter 14, verse 26, it says, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you." The Helper. Isn't the idea of prayer us asking for help? Lord, I need this. I need this. Do this for me. But what I'm saying is that if you would just release that. Don't do that on your own. You can make a petition to the Lord. He knows those things. But the Holy Spirit If you approach him in a position of submission, he's going to use you because you're going to be an empty vessel. And he will help you through life. And I think a lot of times is the reason why we fight, the reason why we think about ourselves so much, and the reason why we're trying to maneuver this world and trying to find a way to get a leg up is that we don't have faith in God's sovereignty in our life. We have got to fight it. Sometimes to the point of manipulation. Sometimes we've got to fight it. What I'm saying is trust in his sovereignty. Trust that he is with you, that he is a helper, that he dwells in you. Think of these moments in this day and in your life as just an opportunity for him to do a work in you and through you. And when you stop thinking about yourself, because that's really, you're trying to find glory in that, right? I think of all these stories in the Bible, like Gideon and his 300. Why 300? The least of all the tribes, right? And Gideon is the weakest of all his clan. It was ridiculous. And then he gets all these men together, and God says, well, let's get rid of all of them almost, and we'll keep 300. Because the idea is that you're going to get glory if you go into battle and win. So I'm going to bring you down to the maximum point of your weakness, and I'm going to bring you victory. I am sovereign. What makes sense is to army up. Call all the 12 tribes. Get the most strongest warriors. But God said, no. Trust in me. Seek me. Hear my voice, Gideon. Go out, and I'm going to win this. And your life is like that. And I hope that we can move from the point of that's a good word, that's interesting theology, and make this a part of our life, a practice, application. Living in that, because that's where your power is at. It's not just understanding. Understanding, it says, be renewed by the transformation of your mind. And this idea of being renewed and changed and transformed in his likeness, you need knowledge, but knowledge alone will not get you anywhere. It's this brokenness and this trust and say, Lord God, I give this to you. I want to live my life drastically different. I want to live it as a prayerful life, a communion with you, submitted completely in you, and completely victorious because I know your spirit dwells in me. I believe you go before me in my battles. I believe that you've called me to be salt and light. And what I want to say is that a lot of times as Christians, we live this life, and it's kind of like we have this faith, but it's real, it's like we're reaching out to God, and we're just kind of holding on. We're scared to go over the side. We're not all in sometimes. We kind of hold on to the things that can, we try to steady ourselves a little bit just so we can get as spiritual as we can and just enough truth as possible. But what I want to say is the Holy Spirit, our God, Jesus Christ, it's like all in. It's like Peter, right? If you think about Peter trying to, you want a miracle in your life? You want to be renewed. You want to feel the Holy Spirit work through you. You want a vibrant prayer life again, push through. But you've got to push through yourself, your flesh. Push through. It's not the fact that God is not here. He's everywhere. He's all present. He's all knowing. The problem is that we have to push through ourselves. And holding on, it's like Peter would have never made it to Jesus if he would have never let go of that boat. And he has to fixate his eyes on Jesus. And then the storm rages and all those things. And we have this faith issues where we begin to sink. But you know what? The Lord will bring you through. I promise you. And I think really what we need is when we see Jude here, he says, contend earnestly for the faith which was once and for all handed down all the saints. Contend to the faith which was once handed down. Contend for the faith. Contend for the faith. Get out of the boat. Get out of the boat. And that you can find in your prayer life. Get out of the boat. press through your agenda, press through your flesh, press through, be filled with the Holy Spirit, fan that flame, and by faith, see the world differently, see your congregation, see your family, see your marriage differently. See your marriage differently. Have you ever read, and I won't go into this, but I was reading in Ephesians how husbands should love their wives. I want to challenge you to read that. This love is a true love. This will transform your marriage. It's like, Holy Spirit, reveal this to me. Put this into my heart. Enter me. So I just pray that our church, just like Jude, when he's writing this church, and it's like there's just things that need to change, and he's saying, just contend, strive, fight. And we need to be a church of prayer. We need to be a church that seeks God in our everyday normal life, submitted to his Spirit, and say, Lord, how are you going to use me today? We cannot just have theological faith. We cannot just be interested in learning a new idea about the Bible. It's like, man, he died so he could fill you and transform this world. It's awesome. Yes, he's all powerful, and yes, you're weak. But the idea is beautiful because it's like a dad and a kid, and it's like the kid wants to help out the dad all the time. It's like, yes, all right, come here. There's not much you can do here. We're going to build a tree fort. Have you ever built a tree fort before? I've done it before, but it's like there's not much you can do as a kid. You need your dad to do it. But he brings you along this journey. And he's like, let go. Let go. Be filled with the Spirit. Let's commune with one another. Let's see how I can use you. Let's see the work that I have for you today. Not just me prayers all the time. That's why we're so beaten down and worn down, and there's not vitality in our life, and all this stuff. It's like, well, God just wants to rise you out of that. And he's like, hold on, there's something to be excited about. Like, I am a living God in you, and I have a plan that is so awesome. I have a work that is so redemptive. And you get to be a part of that. You get to be a part of that. Until you embrace that, it's like the walk is so discouraging. Without the Holy Spirit, the walk, the body of faith can be so discouraging without prayer and the Holy Spirit, without allowing him to change our minds and our hearts, the way we see one another, and the way we see ourselves and our purpose. Who can really tell you what your life purpose is besides him? No one. No one can tell you what you're supposed to do today. No one can tell you the things that you honestly need changing. Because even in a counseling session, you're only going to release the things that you want to release anyway. But see, God that dwells in you, he knows all the caverns of your soul, and he's like, yeah, how about this? Let's do this. Here is how I can form and mold you and shape you into my likeness. So victory, church, victory is just a prayer away. It's trusting that he is in. Walking in him. The Holy Spirit should not be some theology that we lost or an idea to understand. But the Holy Spirit is God in us, a relationship that we're supposed to have. It's such a blessing. It brings life. He breathes this life into you. It's awesome. I want you to be encouraged in that. I want you to be encouraged in that. And his plans for you are amazing. Your prayer life can be vibrant. Your relationship with your family, your relationship at work, all those things can just change. And it can be amazing. But seek first the kingdom of heaven. And all these other things will be added to you. But you know what? Seek first and just know that the Holy Spirit is there, submitting to him and allowing him to work in your life. Because in the end, the church is victorious. My prayer is that it's going to be on heaven as in on earth. Right? I want that prayer, like, all right, Lord, if we're going to be victorious up here, I don't want to wait. Let's have a victory right here. Because we're called to go make disciples. We're called to change the world. So this is how we start. This is how we do it. Let's submit to the church. As the worship team comes up, we're going to move into a time of communion. Before we go into communion, I just want to take a moment, and I want to give you a personal time just to seek the Lord in prayer and allow Him, allow His Holy Spirit to search you. Allow the Holy Spirit to search you and ask Him, Lord, is there anything in my life that displeases you? Maybe you're here today and you've just neglected your fellowship with Him. You've maybe read through the Bible this past year but just have had no fellowship with Him. You can do that. So Father God, tonight, Lord God, today, I just lift your name up, Lord. I thank you that, Lord, you are the one that builds your kingdom. You are the one that transforms our life. You are the one that we need. You are so relevant. Father God, I just ask that you would search us this morning. But Lord God, if it's been so long since we've heard your voice, so long since we've been passionate for what you were doing here in us, Lord God, we just repent from anything, Lord, that keeps us from you. It's been so long that as we plan our lives and our days, Lord, that we've asked, what is it that you have for us today? I thank you that you're just not a God of the big things. You are the God of the little things. The day by day, you desire to walk with your children. Divine plan for each of us. Divine opportunities, Lord, every day. And I pray that we would open our eyes to see the miracle you want to do in us and through us. That we would have the courage to hear your voice, Lord God, and put off the things of the flesh. We would hear your voice, Lord God, and follow your direction. Spirit, I pray that you would just build this church up now. That each life in this church